Thanks for joining us for another great message from Futures Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to futures.church. And now for our message.
He is King Jesus, amen? Come on, we started this series last week. Pastor Tony began to preach this beautifully. King Jesus. If you had missed last week's message, can I encourage you, you can go back and listen to it on all our YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. And we're also doing a great series at nighttime called Why. Everyone say why. And we started this last week again. You can listen to it. And sometimes we think we know and understand Scripture and its depth and God's intent and heart, but sometimes there's greater levels of understanding than we can even understand. And so tonight, Pastor Sarah is going to be preaching on why we suffer. And sometimes we have to speak on a topic like that, because if we don't truly understand why we suffer, we don't know how to endure suffering. And you're like, but I don't want to endure suffering, but suffering comes. And ultimately, it's connected to why does Jesus suffer? And we're going into Easter. What a great thing to understand, because I guarantee some people might ask you questions around why Jesus suffered. Sometimes we've got those questions. Tonight, we're going to give you some of the answers around that. Is that okay? But Jesus is King. He is a king who rules, and he is a king who always has. He is a king who has all authority, amen? We're going to talk about that next week. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. And last week, Pastor Tony showed us that we often see him as friend, and we see him as helper, and we see him as kind, and he is. However, he also is worthy and almost first needs to be seen as revered and honored, that he is both and. He expects reverence and desires relationship. And sometimes we just see one side of the equation. He requires worship. Sometimes we're like, I want the word, I don't want the worship. No, he doesn't just want our worship or like our worship. He requires worship, but inspires intimacy. He is almighty and he is all gentle. He is the lion and he is the lamb. Amen? Come on, you're quiet this morning. He is the lion and he is the lamb. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is all-knowing and he is all-present. He is all-powerful and he is all-wonderful. And knowing King Jesus is both recognizing and honoring the authority of God with awe and fear. Because he is powerful creator of the universe. He is judge and savior. He is almighty counselor. Not just counselor. And not just almighty. He is the almighty counselor. He's more than we realize, who deserves our respect in ways way more than we could ever imagine or give. And it takes us, and it's important this time of year, to remember that he is king, because it moves us beyond familiarity to the wonder and majesty of our incredible God, who transcends time and space, who is bigger than the entire universe he created, and therefore requires absolute obedience, honor, and adoration. He is King Jesus, amen? And if he is king, he has a kingdom. And that means the kingdom literally means the king's domain. My domain, I am the head of my house and I have my children. And my children, I love them, I talk to them, I have conversation with them. I allow them to express thought and opinion. I have a safe home where they receive love and comfort, but I am the head of that home. It is my domain. And even more so when it comes to the earth and our life, this earth and beyond the earth, from the invisible to the visible, is his domain. And if the king has a kingdom, that means he has his people and his citizens, and that is us. Right. Philippians 3 verse 20, and this is important, an important reminder. If he is a king, he must have a kingdom. And if he has a kingdom, he must have his citizens. And Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. It is so important that we stop today and recognize the distraction, the deterrent, and the lies that make us think that this earth and tomorrow's needs and problems and the way I feel and what I walk through is everything. Earth is ultimately not our home. Once we find Jesus and he becomes kings, we are now citizens of heaven. Amen? When we accept that he is Lord and Savior, we no longer just say, well, the things of the earth and the emotions of this body dictate who I am, but I am a citizen of heaven. A week and a bit ago, I was in Malaysia, and I love Kuala Lumpur. Are there any Malaysians here today? There you go. Very honoring and respectful. And while I was there, I ate Malaysian food. I tried to say a few words in Malaysian. I just realized as I tried to act Malaysian, I actually wasn't Malaysian. Sometimes I pretend I'm Malaysian, but it's clear I'm not Malaysian. I'm an Australian because I look different and I sound different. And there I'm taller than half of the people. It's amazing. My understanding of life was different. I went to breakfast, looked for Vegemite toast. There was rice. And I wasn't used to that. I like some rice, but not normally for breakfast. Why? Because I'm not from there. You see, my citizenship is determined from the location of my birth. And when I was born again in the Spirit and I became a spiritual citizen of heaven, I may live here now, but I need to remember that heaven is my home. And therefore, when I am born again, I am a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I am no longer just as I was. I am now a citizen of a different place, which means that I understand life differently. It's important we don't just see Jesus as king, but means if he is king, if we have to see Jesus differently, means we have to be different. It means our perspective is different because we're a citizen of heaven. It means we understand life different because we are a citizen of heaven. So when Jesus changes us from the inside out, it means we are meant to be different. And this is sometimes where the suffering and difficulty comes, because life is hard, yet we have to respond in the opposite way that our flesh wants to respond to. It's how it's possible that you can live in victory even when you are in suffering. That's why you can have peace even when life has chaos. It's why we can have joy when we shouldn't. It's why we can be blessed when we're in lack, because we follow a different king who allows us to live by different rules, because we're not following the king of this world. We are following King Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, for most of us that know Jesus and can accept, be reminded, and relearn, or learn anew that he is king, we are okay, therefore, that the king has a kingdom. But I think most of us often live unaware that Satan also has a kingdom. And it would be incomplete for us just to talk about King Jesus and his kingdom if we were to not talk about the kingdom that we're living in. If we were to not understand where we are and the nature of the enemy's kingdom, which is in opposition to our king's kingdom. Amen? And therefore, because we live here in this body, in this world, we will be influenced by the kingdom of the earth rather than the kingdom of heaven. So today I want to show you right from the beginning, the Bible and the Christian story is the story of two kingdoms, not just one. Right. And there is one that is allowed to remain and rule for a time, but there is one that will remain forevermore. Amen. And we see this all the way through Scripture. And today I don't have time to do this. I might next week talk about even Satan as Lucifer and what eventually made him want to have control and be worshipped before the earth was even created. The Bible alludes, doesn't describe, but alludes to moments with this. But we see through the Bible from the beginning of time all the way through the wrestle of two kingdoms, but none is clearer than at the very beginning of the New Testament, there is the battle of two kings. Right at the start, and Jesus comes to earth. When King Jesus comes to earth, right there, as Jesus, God, our King, comes in the flesh, all of a sudden, the battle of two kingdoms rears its head clearly for us to see. Now, Jesus was born, and now somewhere between the ages of roughly maybe somewhere between 6 months and a year and a half, up to maybe 2 years old, Jesus received some visitors. They were not at the manger. They were later in his toddler years. In Matthew 2 verse 1 to 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one, read this with me, who has been born King of the Jews? It's a statement right there. He's not just a child. He's the Messiah, but he is also King of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Because if he is king, he requires our worship. So these magi, we don't know how many, came from the east, and they came to worship. We know them as the wise men, sometimes referred to as kings, although it was very likely they were more advisors or servants to kings. But they weren't kings themselves. And they came to do what? If you are a ruler and you realize there is a higher authority and a higher power, you come to worship. So they come to worship, submit their gifts, which is what Pastor Alice was talking about today, to bow down and serve King Jesus. However, as we see them come, rulers of this world, to worship one king, there is right there in parallel a picture in the natural of what's in the spiritual, of what's in the visible to the invisible. We see a second king, and his name is King Herod. There is a second king. And this King Herod does not want to worship. He wants to stay on his throne, and he wants to rule and reign in his domain. This is the battle of all of us, whether we will be willing to worship Jesus or we want to remain on our throne and be in control of our life and ultimately be able to live as we want, which is to worship who we want and to be worshiped. Now, this is a picture of Lucifer in heaven, and this is the picture of what he does with us here on earth. So now we go to Matthew 2 verse 3. When King Herod heard this, watch this, he was disturbed. When he heard about a new king, he was disturbed. And all of Jerusalem with him. What is this? This is a picture that the entire world, not only Satan, but the entire world is disturbed by our worship. We are here to bring a holy disturbance. We are here to bring what is ordinary to be extraordinary. We are here to make what is natural supernatural. We are here to bring a righteous disturbance to a broken, hurting, lost, sinful, messed up world. And the moment we begin to live different, people that want to be worshipped and the forces of this earth try to limit us and restrict us. There is a disturbance when you say amen. There is a disturbance when you praise him, which is why it's so hard to break through. There is a disturbance when you declare the word. There is a disturbance when you pray over your house. There is a disturbance when we gather together. So the enemy will do everything to silence you, distract you, and help himself to remain on the throne in our life. It's a battle of two kings. Because from the moment King Jesus was born, the king of the earth was in opposition to him. So as the wise men come, like in the garden, the enemy's tactic was to lie. What was the enemy's tactic in the garden? It was, who could tell you that you can't eat that apple? Control. And you would be like God's worship. The enemy wanted us to have what he wanted himself. And this very same battle that Adam and Eve have is the very same battle that Herod has, and is this very same battle the enemy tempts us with today, that you need to have control of your life and what you ultimately need to be worshipped, which dethrones him in your personal life. So he says in verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly, because what the enemy does, he never does it overtly, he always does it in the whisper, and found out the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, watch this, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship too. The enemy will always come like a wolf in sheep's clothing to disguise what is a lie as a part truth from the garden to here to this day. All since this moment, he's been trying to get you to compromise. with pop culture and what we listen to and the music we have in our homes and what we watch and what we worship and the need for money, the God of this earth, and the battle for us being in control. Since that day, he has tried to, with celebrity culture and earthly wealth and ultimately being true to yourself, he wants you to have control and he wants you to have worship, not because he cares for you, because he's in opposition to King Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about your good, and it's actually not about your demise. It's only in opposition to King Jesus. So the Magi, watch this, it says, I haven't got this on the verse on the screen, but it says, the Magi found him and they had exceeding joy. See, the key to life is when you find Jesus, you find exceeding joy. And they bowed down, watch this, when Jesus is king, when you've settled that in your heart, you worship passionately and you give generously. The two signs of someone who has given control to Jesus and recognize his lordship is they worship passionately and they give generously. What an example that when you realize he is king, your wealth and your prestige, your status and your control don't matter compared to who he is. That is the ultimate test for is he king? Is that my wealth and my status and the control of my life with my time and my treasure and my position and whatever I think, once I can release that, he truly is king of my life. He is the ruler of my life. He is king of kings and lord of lords. But of course, goes on verse 16, when they never went back to Herod, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, can I give you some hope today? The enemy is not wiser than you. The enemy has no more power than you. The enemy is a defeated foe. And by the love, grace, and word of Jesus, he is outwitted. Amen? He was furious. And watch this. He does what he always does, which is his always intent. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity that were 2 years old and under. From the moment Herod's subjects bow their knee to Jesus, the moment the subjects and rulers of this world bow their knee to Jesus, he does what his intent always was and reveals who he always was: to kill, steal, and destroy and bring pain and destruction. This is the story. King Jesus is not just the story of a king. It is the story of two kingdoms and two kings. One that brings life and one that brings death. One that is meek and one that is proud. One that loves you and one that hates you. One king is joyous and another is tormented. One king is generous and the other king selfish. And this is the truth. It is one thing to recognize Jesus as king, but it is a whole nother thing to choose that Jesus will be king over your life. And the progression from last week in recognizing that he is king is that ultimately we have to make a choice: who is king in my life? And if it is not Jesus, it will ultimately be you. And if it is ultimately you, it is ultimately the king of this earth. And there is an ongoing battle going on in the unseen, which is why I don't have time to go into it today. Colossians 2 talks about from the invisible to the visible. And he's the one that holds it all together, that there is the world of the unseen. What you think is temptation or struggle and anxiety and worry, what you feel is that need on the inside always for something else and more, is a battle that is going on in what you cannot see, which is a constant decision to bow your knee to King Jesus, who has rule over your life. This is why Ephesians says, for we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is the battle of two kingdoms. We are not battling people of another religion or another sexual preference or another side of politics. This battle is against the battle of darkness, against the kingdom of darkness. You're not fighting your partner. You're not fighting your kids. You're not fighting your history. There is a battle of two kingdoms that are going on, ultimately to force you to decide who you will confess is Lord and who you will bow your knee to. And for the moment Jesus was born on this earth, the prince of this earth has resisted him and tried to silence him and lied to the followers of King Jesus, and the battle rages around us continuously. Amen? Yep. So this means we've got two responsibilities. Now next week we're going to go more into this, and there's a high chance Easter we just keep going here because you can't do all in one day. But we have two responses. If he is King Jesus and there is a battle of two kingdoms and we are to choose who is king. Number one, if he is king, and therefore if he has a kingdom, and therefore if you are his citizens, we have to realize that we are his ambassadors, which means we are not here to represent us. That even as we gather and worship and go into the workplace and go into our universities, even though the corporate ladder says climb, and even though the world says express what you feel, and even though every emotion seems like it has to be declared, I want to tell you, we are never here to represent our beliefs and our feelings and our desires, but we now aren't here. I was in Malaysia as an Australian citizen. You are here on earth as a citizen of heaven, and therefore in your family, your workplace, your university, your marriage, you are to represent him. You are to be light in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, watch this, the battle of two kingdoms, the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, as King, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light to shine in our hearts, and give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ Jesus. We are here on this earth, firstly, once he is King, and he is a kingdom, and we are part of that kingdom. You are here to shine light in darkness. I believe there is blessing. I believe there is healing. I believe all of that comes from King Jesus, and I'll show you in just a moment. But your mission first here on earth is not to make it or just to see the evidence of what the world says is success or life, but instead you are to declare and be an ambassador, a spokesperson, that King Jesus is here and King Jesus is coming soon, that he is Lord of our life, that he has good for your life, and I am here through my life, my actions, my words, my intent to declare light in darkness, to push back darkness, to show love where there is distance, to show kindness to those who don't deserve it, patience where there's frustration, and grace where there is injustice, to share Jesus to the lost, and to share the invitation that the kingdom is here, the banquet is ready, it is time to come and eat. Amen. This is what Pastor Tony was saying about Easter. It's not, you're in the feast. You're not part of it. You're eating. But you're in the kingdom.
Very good.
But he says, go to the highways and byways and find those that will not come, that don't come, that don't know of King Jesus, that are blinded and can't see the wrestle and the battle of what's going on in the supernatural realm. And go there and be his ambassador for King Jesus. To prepare for us soon. You need to get this. We don't talk about this much. He's our soon coming King. What Titus says is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope is that we would not rule. Our blessed hope is not I would be promoted. Our blessed hope is not that next house. Our blessed hope is not peace in this life. Our blessed hope is that we live in a broken world, but we have a hope that the King is coming back to take away the force of darkness, to sit on that throne, not only in heaven, but here on earth once more. And there in that blessed hope, there will be peace and life and joy forevermore. And because he is coming soon, we have our oil filled, our lamps prepared, and we light the way to the bridegroom. We lead the bride to him to say he is our groom. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our King. And our King is good. Amen? Secondly, if we understand we have a king, that means there must be another king. And that king is the king of the earth. He is a defeated king, but he is allowed to be here and rule for a time, so that we can choose to be citizens of heaven and rule here on earth, which we'll talk about more next week. Keys can come. And secondly, while he is, we are ambassadors. And can I say, you cannot change whether he is king of the universe. This is the choice you get to make. Is he king of your personal life? You don't put him on the throne, but you get to decide in your life who is on the throne. See, we remember at Easter the victory at the cross. We remember that every day. But we must also see him beyond the cross. What do I mean by this? When Jesus is seen just as Savior, and he is all and both. When he is just Savior, the journey of salvation begins. But when I see him as King, the journey of discipleship begins. You see, when he is my Savior, and I only see him as Savior, I live saved. How good is God to give us salvation? But I was lost and I'm found. I was blind and I see. I was weak and I was strong. That he picked me up from the miry clay. I'm now seated in heavenly places with him. Yep. However, it doesn't end there. Beyond the cross, when I see him as King, I now go on the journey of discipleship. Discipleship is the internal to external battle of him now being King of my life. So when Jesus says in Mark 1:15, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. He's actually saying, don't just believe. He's saying, repent, change direction.
Very good.
He's like, believe to be saved,
right,
but change direction for him to be King.
Right.
Sometimes we're so consumed in the kingdom of self that we have to pray, God, help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Because the reality is we live in this kingdom, but we're not citizens of this kingdom. We live in this world and are affected by this world, so that emotion, that anger, that lust, that desire, that insatiable need, that comparison, that emptiness, that's not things of the kingdom of heaven. That's the byproduct of living in the kingdom of this earth. So therefore, because I live in this kingdom, I have to have a transformation to be renewed. Can I say it this way? It's giving him control. I believe this, you'll never have true joy until you give up control. Let me reverse it. If you don't know joy, you still have control. Because joy can't be manufactured or found by your effort.
Right.
So the moment I realize I've lost my joy, I almost guarantee I've taken a little bit of control back and I've become maybe co-king. But he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So to experience true joy means he has to have full control. Because he is either Lord of all or not Lord at all in your life. There's no halfway in this. Let me say this. Both kingdoms require lordship. And ultimately, in our life and in different areas of our life, one is Lord. And in every area of our life, this is the renewal. And we are only fully renewed once we're in heaven. So I'd say for wherever you are on the journey, we're all on the journey until that day where there is no more tears and no more pain and no more suffering and all things are new. But until then, someone is Lord in every area of your life.
Very true.
Now, the truth is for both, both Lords require death, which is the message we'll hear a bit tonight, is the message we'll hear at Easter. The enemy will make you live now,
right, but
die later.
Wow.
The kingdom of God is die now,
wow,
and live forevermore.
There's
a king that says you have to die to your thinking and die to yourself and die to your teaching and die to your habits and die to your ways. And it will require death. He says, unless the seed goes into the ground and dies, it can't have fruit. Even Jesus himself had to die. Ultimately, we have a spiritual renewal that requires death to self. But it will mean you live forevermore. Both require control. One will take it through deception and one will ask for it through your free will. But you have to decide who will be king. There is a battle for control. There is a battle for worship. There is a battle for your mind. There is a battle for sexuality. There is a battle for money. There is a battle for time. There is a battle for health. There is a battle for rest. There is a battle for what you build your identity on. And one will make you fight for one what's yours, and one will ask you to trust him as king. So the ultimate question of today is, can I be in submission? Can I let him be Lord without ever getting an explanation or understanding of why he does what he does, how he does? Can I let go of control in such a way where He is King of all? And whether I see in this earth or not, everything I desire or not, He is enough. Where it's not just obedience, but my desire is to please Him. I don't have time to talk about this. I think 1 Peter talks about this. It's not just obedience, but because He's King, we desire to please Him. The truth is, the obedience is the beginning of a journey of joy and pleasure. See, only if He's Lord over an area does He have the freedom in your life to protect and heal and bless. Let me show you this as I finish. Whatever we give Him control over, He will be Lord over. But whatever we lord over, He allows us to control. Let me say that again. Whatever we give Him control over, He will be Lord. But whatever we lord over, He allows us to control. So sometimes we're still holding onto the controls and asking Him to take over and be Lord. In whatever area the battle for kingship is in your life, wherever the renewal of the mind is taking place, wherever your journey or next season, can I say the only way He can be Lord is you have to let go of control. So whether it be in your future and your mind and your money and or whatever it is, your family, you have to let Him be Lord. And the fruit of Him being Lord, as Pastor Tony said, is joy and peace and wholeness and hope. Because as King, He can pardon you. As King, He can provide for you. As King, He can protect you. And as King, He can empower you. So the truth is, the battle to kingship is the one that when we give it to Him, it's the doorway to His blessing. This is the truth. You can have rule over an area of your life, or you can live in the blessing of your King. You get to choose. I want to pray for you today. And I'm going to pray that this week, even as we do life, that we would probably just open our eyes and say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to the battle that's going on in areas I don't see. It's a journey we're all on. Being renewed. It's not one process, it's an ongoing process. But first, if you don't know Him as King, this is what you need to know. This is the story of Jesus. It is not that He will crush you, it's that He was crushed for you. It is not that He will take over in a way where you are feeling dominated and hurt and shame-filled. It's that He was crushed and broken so that you can be whole and you can be loved. It's beauty for ashes. It's new for old. It's forgiveness for your past. The only one that can pardon you is the King. And the only one that can provide for you is the King. And the only one that can bring peace to you is the King. And the only one that can give power to you is the King. It's not that He wants to dominate you. It's He wants to have authority for you. He wants to have grace for you. It's that He was crushed. So that even though life tries to crush, you can stand whole, healed, restored, and with hope in the saving grace and the mighty love of King Jesus. Amen? If you're here today and you've been looking and searching, you know what it is to feel like I'm blinded. It's dark, it's empty, it's hollow, it's shallow. And you would say, yeah, there is a wrestle. I know what it is to look back with regret. I know what it is to suffer without understanding. I know what it is to not know about a certain future. The answer is King Jesus. The answer is Savior Jesus. The answer is Jesus.
I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met. I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that his death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and his life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good and loves you. He's a father, he's a friend, and you can invite him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe he's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.